today on Real Radio.
We know that throughout human history, on every continent of the world, wherever archaeology has put their shovel in the ground, there is no discovered culture in antiquity that has not had a priesthood, a temple, or worship system. Isn't that amazing? Listen, archaeology knows nothing about atheism. Did you know that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That Jesus is the High Priest, Part 3, continues a series called Who Told You? Oftentimes, doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. In Part 1 of this lesson, we looked at Jesus as the Christ. In Part 2, we learned why Jesus was called Lord. And now, Part 3, we'll see how Jesus is also our High Priest. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the Bible clearly tells us that we have a great High Priest who sympathizes with us in our weakness. And since Jesus is our High Priest, we can come to Him for grace and mercy in our time of need. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus Christ, as our High Priest, has put an end to all other earthly priesthood. We can only find forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And this same Jesus, who we sinned against, is the only one who paid the price to save us, to give us new life. And now, in his lesson called Who Told You That Jesus is the High Priest, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Man, I'm telling you, I need God's help because the area that we're treading upon this morning is truly holy ground. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We've been looking these last few weeks in our Who Told You series. We've been looking at Jesus, the very person, ministry, the majesty of Jesus Christ. And in that first study, by the way, we did look at Him as being Jesus the Christ, what that is all about. Then last week, we looked at Jesus as Lord, regarding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Today, we're looking at Jesus as our High Priest. And I hope today that this attribute of Jesus sets many of you free. Many of you free, because you need to hear this message that is about Jesus being priest that transcends any and all earthly priest. Hebrews chapter 4, I'll begin reading today in an even numbered verse this time. I'm going to start in verse 12. You read the odd numbered verses, and I will end in verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts.
And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who must give account.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession.
For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
And I'll end in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is absolutely awesome, church. Father God, we pray that you would possess us now to be not only students of your word, but to be doers of this. And Lord, I would understand from your scriptures today that to be doers of this, it would be to come to the understanding of how much you, the priest, the one and only priest, the great high priest, is forgiving, is holy, is truly awesome in all of your ways. So God, speak to us from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. You can be seated, church. And this morning, as we're looking at the priesthood of Jesus Christ, obviously time limits us, but we'll be looking at three predominant factors that would benefit us the most this morning regarding the priesthood of Jesus. And the first thing that we see today as we consider this fact is that Jesus Christ as priest, when you think about a priest, by the way, and Jesus is no different. In fact, he's the model, he's the prototype that the priest that we would encounter both in life in this world is somebody that you would think would go to work for you. Maybe today you are of a religious background where priests, you've been raised up or taught that priests are very important people, that you need them to have your sins forgiven, that you're not going to experience a closeness to God without the vote, as it were, or the thumbs up or the approval of an earthly priest. Maybe you are Roman Catholic today, or you are of a sect of some version of Christianity, or maybe you're involved in some sort of religion where there's a priesthood. And that ought not to surprise any of us. We know that throughout human history, on every continent of the world, wherever archaeology has put their shovel in the ground, there is no discovered culture in antiquity that has not had a priesthood, a temple, or worship system. Isn't that amazing? Listen, archaeology knows nothing about atheism. Did you know that? You do not find in ancient cultures atheism. There's always some form of a worship system. And a worship system of whatever sorts had a priesthood. And you would ask the question, why is that the case? Why is that true? Because what's inside the human heart, according to the Bible, don't believe me, the Bible says that mankind has been cut off from fellowship with God. And the Bible says that mankind by nature, having been separated from God, gropes. It's the old English word to grope, is to go about searching and grabbing and trying to find a connection point, a hallmark connection that would put man in contact with the gods. And so there are temples set up all around the world. It's inside the human heart to be religious, to be spiritual, to find forgiveness. It's in the heart of every human being. And that relationship that you and I have with people is to either ask for forgiveness or to extend forgiveness. By the way, just remember this as a side note, though I often mention this. When you look at all of the religions of the world, there seems to be, listen carefully, a fairness to it. A fairness. In other words, you sin and then a particular culture, you find out from the priest or from the leaders, what do I need to do? Well, you go do this and then you bring it and then you'll be forgiven. And there's a fairness to that. You commit an offense and you go and do this and you make it right. Are you with me? Are you tracking? And maybe many of us can relate to that because, again, it's in the human heart. And there's a fairness to the altars of pagan religions. Christianity, according to the Bible, knows nothing about fairness when it comes to forgiveness. You heard me right. Christianity knows nothing about fairness when it comes to forgiveness. Why? Because Christianity is that humans have sinned against a holy God. And it is the holy God who is the one who initiates the forgiveness process, not us. He comes to us and says, you need forgiveness. I want you back with me. Yet he was the one that was offended. He was the one that was sinned against. He was the one that was hurt. And here's what makes Christianity different from all religions on earth. It's the one who is forgiven is the one who issues the forgiveness. It's the one who issues the forgiveness is the one that pays the price. Christianity is a religion, is a faith system whereby the eternal God who is offended is the one that turns around and pays the price. And it is absolutely not fair. It's not fair that you and I should go scot-free being the offender. God says, I'm not into fairness. I'm into forgiveness. And the righteous God of the Bible issues forgiveness based upon the sacrifice of his own son who did nothing to warrant such a sacrifice, but did it because of his love for us. I find that awesome. And no other faith on earth can boast such a great God. He's the absolute forgiver. So the first thing that we see today is when we ask this question about Jesus Christ being our high priest, is what is the work of his priesthood? What is the work of the priesthood of Jesus Christ? And it means this, that first of all, the priesthood work, the priestly work of Jesus, according to the Bible, puts an end to all earthly priesthoods. This is amazing because all around the world you can find priests today. And I'm not here to offend you. I'm not here to upset you. I want you to listen. Don't leave the building upset. Listen. And then you can leave the building upset if you choose to. But just wait. If Jesus Christ died on the cross according to the scriptures and rose again from the dead according to the scriptures, and if those same scriptures say that he is the high priest and his actions put to naught all those earthly priests because he alone is the high priest, then why would you today go to an earthly priest to find forgiveness? Why today would you go to an earthly priesthood to find some sort of absolution from your sin or rectitude from your sin? The Bible knows nothing about that anymore. Christ has come, and the Bible says that he's come because he's done a work, and he's done a work as the great priest. How so? Number one, Jesus' priestly work is to justify the ungodly. This may sound mundane or routine, but listen, Jesus' priestly work is to justify the ungodly. No religion on earth makes you this offer. Number one, biblical message of forgiveness is 100% unique in favor of the transgressor, the God of the Bible. Today, this morning, if you can recognize today, I need the high priest. I need Jesus to represent me in my life's situation. Then you've come to the right place. You come to the right God, because it is Christ alone who the Bible has tapped to be our high priest, and it's all in the benefit of the transgressor at the expense of the forgiver. The one who sins against is the one who pays the price. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Am I yelling? I'm so excited about this. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, but to him who does not work, speaking to us, watch, don't try to earn your forgiveness. Don't try to impress God and he'll issue forgiveness. It doesn't work that way. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. Pause right there at that comma. Is your high priest one who initiates a process whereby he justifies the ungodly? He's the one who says, come to me and I will declare you to be as if you've never sinned. That's what the word justification means. And he does that for the ungodly. Are you ungodly today? Raise your hand if you're ungodly. Raise both of your hands. You know what? My ungodliness condemned me. And then when I come to the truth of the Gospels, I realize that it's my ungodliness that qualifies me. So what are you talking about? Hey, because I'm such a wretch of a sinner, Jesus Christ came and died for me. And by that fact, and we'll study it more in a moment, that is such a transforming fact in my life that all of a sudden the person that was condemned to hell winds up being the one who's fit for heaven. All because of the work of Christ and none of our own. That is an absolute miracle. And it's a great work of God. I go on. Romans 4, verse 5 announces to us that his faith is accounted to him for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. You ought to chew on that for a while. David is announcing in verse 6 that God bestows the status of righteous to the man who does not work for righteousness. Look at verse 7, Romans 4. Blessed, happy, the word is well off, are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. How does this happen? God, who is just and holy, how does God justify the ungodly? There has to be an out for God to remain righteous. God is holy. God is righteous. We've been studying this last few weeks. He cannot change, and sin must be punished. The Bible tells us that Jesus going to the cross was punished in the sense of our sins being laid upon him at the cross. And in that work that Jesus did at the cross, God justifies the ungodly. When Jesus shouted, "Tetelestai," from the cross, "It is finished." What's finished? The price paid for the sins of the world. The work was done. The Bible tells us, now get this, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:18, an amazing verse. 1 Peter 3:18, put on your theological caps. We're all in seminary right now, and this is on the screens in our class. For Christ also suffered, what's the word? Once. Look, the word once in English means once. The word in Greek means once. Never needed again. Once for sins. What did he do? The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Listen, if you want to memorize a verse, 1 Peter 3:18, get a tattoo, get a t-shirt, whatever you want to do. Get that verse and memorize that verse. That will set you free. The just for the unjust. This is the message of the cross. This is the message of Christianity. This is why we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. This is what he's done for us. He's justified the ungodly. Number two, his priestly work is to convert the soul. Is to convert the soul. The word convert means to switch or to change. It means to take you in a state that you find yourself in. And to be converted is to take you from one state and to present you into another state, into another place, from one form of existence to a different, not another, but a different form of existence. The Bible's very clear about conversion. People will say, "Have you been converted?" Well, what they're saying is, "Are you born again? Have you come to Christ? Have you put your faith in this high priest?" And so his priestly work, how do we know that it's effective? I love this. 21st century, here we are. How do we know if the gospel is all powerful? How do we know the Bible's true? Well, many ways, but the most important way is that for the person that comes to Christ and gives Christ his life, that person is converted on the inside out. And that's important, church. Look, if you could go to heaven by doing external performances, you do so many prayers, you do so many things, you dot this I and cross this T, and you fill out your little report card, and then at the end of the day or at the end of the time frame, the priest determines, okay, you're good. All of your things line up, good to go. Listen, anybody can do that. Anybody can do that, which caused certain religions to create aspects that were impossible to achieve. To encumber the people, to keep them in fear, to keep them in bondage of what? Of doing works. And the Bible just said, don't come to Christ by doing these works for salvation. You come to him for faith. He's done the work. But there's the move of religiosity is to keep you bound in performance. And it's a hard road. There are Christians, you might even be here today. You're not in a cult. You're not into some weird religion. You just have a hard time experiencing the forgiveness of God. And you're bound up in a weird, twisted existence whereby you think if you're having a good day, then God loves you more. Listen, the priesthood of Christ knows nothing about that. He died on the cross. He purchased your forgiveness. And he applies his righteousness to your situation. That truth converts the soul. When you come to him, God changes you on the inside. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, regarding Jesus, who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, that is God revealed in flesh. We studied that last week. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Look at it. By himself, he purged our sins. And then when that was done, look what the Bible says. I don't know about you, there's a little bit of a sassiness to this. He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Listen, if you're Jewish today, you're going, what? Everybody knows that the temple, that the Holy of Holies and the holy place and inside the temple itself, there's no chairs. Those priests who practiced all their priestly duties In the temple in Jerusalem, or even for Moses in the wilderness with Aaron, there was no chair. There's no chair in the temple. The priests worked and worked and worked and worked, sacrificing, washing, laying this out, cutting this, serving up that. He never got to sit down. When the priests served at the temple, it was exhausting. 12, 13, 14-hour duty call for the priest. But the Bible says when Jesus by himself purged our sins, he sat down. You know what that means? He ascends back to heaven in the book of Acts, and Jesus sat down at the right hand of God the Father, meaning everything that needed to be done for you to be forgiven, Jesus accomplished it. Amen. Everything. All of it. He did it all. And that truth, when you let God, our great high priest, have that truth saturate your heart, and you realize, wait a minute. Jesus did, by himself, purged my sins. You need to let that soak in. And let God cause you to arise with that hope, that assurance, that peace.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called, Who Told You That Jesus is the High Priest, Part 3. Thank you for listening, and our hope is that Jesus is the High Priest of your life and the only one you go to for salvation and forgiveness. Who Told You That Jesus is the High Priest, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, as well as his plan for our lives and the future of his church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? You know, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So go check that out at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. It's available right there at our website. You could use our app to get there if you'd like, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. That's every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. Go check that out at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, by the way, we just recently ended a four-part message called Who Told You About the Church? And I want to tell you a little bit about this special promotion we've got going on. These messages really do teach you how to determine whether a church is a true biblical church or not. If Jesus Christ is at the helm of that church, it can't be defeated. But if men are at the helm, that church is already defeated. It may not have fallen yet, but it is powerless, unprotected, and pretty much doomed. Pastor Jack Hibbs shares the importance of the church being Christ-centered in these key areas: teaching, influence, witness, impact, worship, obedience, and most importantly, its love for Christ and others. For a limited time, you can get this four-part message for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, have you missed any episodes? You can catch up with past episodes or just ones you've missed with the Real Life app. Check your app store for the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called The Attributes of God, Volume 2 by A.W. Tozer. Now, last month we read Volume 1 together, but if you missed that, don't worry, this book actually stands on its own. In this book, Tozer examines what God reveals about himself, what Scripture says about his love, his sovereignty, wisdom, his faithfulness, among many other things. It's a great book. Be sure to pick it up. The Attributes of God, Volume 2 by A.W. Tozer. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can write this number down and call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you could write to us if you'd like, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways that you can connect with us, like Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.